Hey everybody, How Did This Get Made is coming to Denver. That's right, we are going to be in Denver August 25th. Get your tickets starting this Monday pre-sale. That's right, for only the listeners of the show. We're giving out a special pre-sale code. You can find it on Twitter, Facebook, or if you signed up for our mailing list, we'll release it there as well. Please come out and see us in Denver, Colorado. We're so excited to be there. August 25th, Denver pre-sale starts Monday. Regular tickets go on sale 5-4. That's May 4th. See you later. Guys, give it up to our wonderful sponsor, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy for you to create your own website. They're constantly uploading new designs to their site. So if you haven't checked out the site in a while, do it. Go there. Check it out. You're at your computer right now. Or if you're at the gym, remember to do it later. Text yourself a note. Go to squarespace.com, get a free trial, and we're going to give you 10% off if you use our offer code of MADE. That's M-A-D-E, squarespace.com. It doesn't get any simpler than this. Hey, everybody, before we start the show officially, I just wanted to let you all know this is a live show. So sometimes we talk about things that are on the screen that the audience can see that you can't see. And this is where I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. Think about it. And then if you don't want to use your imagination, just move to a city in which we are doing a live show. We have another live show in LA coming up in August. So get your bags packed. Come out to August. That's not announced yet, though. Okay, so enjoy the show. Sit back, relax. Use that thing up in your head called a brain. Picture it. It's like old TV. Here you go. In the future, we're all pussies. Thank goodness Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes are gonna blow shit up and fuck their future women. We saw Demolition Man, so you know what that means.
Of subpar art, perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! Whoa, hold it down. Hello, New York. We are live at Subculture Brit, a beautiful space here on Bleecker Street. Oh, what's playing? Uh-oh, Adam Sandler music is playing through my iPad. I thought I was going to nail it. This will be edited out. Two shows in a row. I gotta get this on a different track. Okay. Started off like. We are in Subculture New York, a beautiful new space on Bleecker Street. We have an amazing show for you, but first, let me introduce my two co-hosts. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Guest here tonight, please welcome Wyatt Cenac. Welcome, everybody. Demolition Man, a movie made in 1993, posits a world that in 1996 shit has gone terribly wrong. The opening of this movie, and this is like a weird cliche that bugs me, it's like the Hollywood sign is just on fire.
Oh yeah.
Like, and it feels to me like the filmmaker's like, oh yeah, it's always on fire. It's not like
that. Yeah, because there wasn't like a fire in the hills.
No.
Like nothing else around it was on fire.
Like
just
went
the letters.
Lighter fluid.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like every year, at least when I lived in LA, there was always, this is the year that the Hollywood sign is going to be torn down and people would fight to save it.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you watch all these movies, nobody wants it.
No.
Yeah. No, nobody
Let
wants
it, go.
It.
Let her go.
Yeah, these politicians are like, no, I've seen Demolition Man in like 800 other movies where the sign gets burned down. You guys don't want it. We get the message.
We hear you.
Also, why are our politicians watching Demolition Man?
Most of the best politics that happened in the 80s, most of Clinton's administration was made off of Sylvester Stallone, Joel Silver.
Almost all of Antonio Villaraigosa's campaign promises were from Demolition Man.
Prop 8 was Demolition
Prop
Man.
Prop 8. Yeah. Guys, Prop Doma. 8 is dead.
Yeah.
Right?
But by
and
the
you,
time,
know, you know why? Because the Demolition Man came in and destroyed it. lit it on fire.
I thought that DOMA was like Demolition Man. Like it was the, I don't know what the O stand for, but the D and the M was yeah. Demolition
yep.
Man.
Yep, absolutely.
So in 1996, things are bad. So bad that one of the helicopter police pilots goes like, hey, remember when they used to let commercial airlines land in Los Angeles? Like that? What about when the city was on fire? Like that's the one thing he's regretting. Like, oh man, remember that? When commercial airlines would land here. Like that's a weird thing. All right. I thought that was
weird. Well, by the way, in that first scene when Stallone throws a rope down and just
oh yeah
shimmies down to the ground.
He doesn't shimmy. He jumps out of the back of a helicopter
and yells with Phoenix.
First, amazing. First he says his name. Just yeah.
He first says send a maniac to catch one. Then he jumps out screaming Phoenix.
I'm sky fucking you.
At this point in the movie, though, you don't really know who Phoenix is, like where Phoenix is. Well, that's so to just see him yelling, screaming, Phoenix.
Well, that is like the problem with the beginning of this movie, which is he runs out. He does like basically the world's best bungee jump, and then immediately goes into killing mode. Like before he lands, like whoa, bam, bam, bam,
well,
bam.
That's the thing is he bungees out and he never goes back up. He bungees out to the ground and is like click. He just jumped like half a mile.
He lands and he misses no one and then proceeds to have a mental knowledge of this abandoned warehouse as if he has studied it his entire life. It was like, yeah, it's like going to mom's house. I know this. Like, and meanwhile, it's revealed that like he's been chasing Phoenix for 2 years and he finally found this place. So this is the first time. There's no recon on this building.
No. He lands on the ground, shoots everybody, and as if he is like has the map in his head, goes like boop, 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 boop. And like Wesley Snipes is like boop 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 boop. Wait, what? And then Stallone is like, I'm here now. I got you. And I was like, at what point is Wesley Snipes not like? There are like 400 dudes that I feel like should be guarding me, but you got through all of them instantly.
Basically, the beginning of Demolition Man is the end of an awesome movie that we did not see. And
I want to see the 2 years where like Wesley Snipes moves to L.A., then somehow works his way up in the L.A. like underworld.
Yeah, where his family is murdered, and so having nothing to live for, he takes to a life of crime.
Then builds a wall all around L.A. Sets shit on fire.
He goes to that beauty shop, gets his hair dyed blonde. One of my favorite moments too is like. He's like, where are those people on the bus? And he's like, and Wesley Snipes...
Oh, guess Wesley Snipes has abducted a bus full of regular people.
And he's like, I told those bus drivers, don't come into L.A., but those bus drivers won't listen. It's like...
That is their job.
Your beef is with the bus drivers of Los Angeles?
And by the way, they're just doing their job, guys.
Yeah.
They are just shepherding us from place to place in the most humiliating vehicle known to man.
These bus drivers, like, that's Wesley Snipes' anger. Like, he talks so vehemently about these bus drivers. Like, they can't come in here. It's like, why? What? Like, they're not threatening your drug empire. They're just dropping people off. I don't know why they would even want to be dropped off in a city that is on fire. But if they want to, they're doing the job.
Also, he's a guy, he's clearly wasteful, because very early on, you see him do one line of coke, but leave two behind. Just like,
he's good.
These are fine. I'm going to come back to you guys.
When I'm ready.
Yeah. You don't go stale.
How about this? At a certain point when Stallone is entering and Wesley Snipes realizes Stallone is going to enter, he punctures these gasoline tanks. So there's gasoline all over the ground, right? And so Stallone comes in and he's like, I got you. Or whatever he says, right? Whatever he says. Relax, everybody. Relax. And then Wesley Snipes is like, ha, you're standing in gasoline, lights a cigarette, and then says, what does he say? Something about, like, you're going to go up in flames or whatever. Some one-liner. Then he...
Oh, he says it's cold in here.
Oh, yeah. Let's turn up the heat or something? Yeah. Throws the cigarette. Flames erupt everywhere. Okay?
But he's also standing in flames.
Yes. Okay, so he's standing in gasoline. So flames are like, right? All Stallone does, the only thing that happens to Stallone is he drops his gun. Yeah. He's like, oh, that's hot.
The steel got so hot in my hand.
Whoa, God. But then he just jumps right out of it, jumps onto us, and says they're fighting. Nobody's on fire.
But I'm He's confused. Unburned. Did the gun get caught in the flames and then it got too hot to hold, or did he just get scared and throw that gun down? Because that's what it looked like.
I hope it's B.
It looked like he just, like, freaked.
That's what you don't see when he's in the helicopter flying past the Hollywood sign burning, is that he's like, oh, can't look. Tell me when we pass the fire sign.
I would love it if in this movie there was a thread that is like, fire is his snakes to Indiana Jones. Why did it have to be fire?
He's part Frankenstein monster, and he's afraid of fire. Stallone's move is basically like a football player's tackle. It's just sort of like, just lunges at a guy. He has guns and he has knives on him, but it's just it's a tackle.
But he also, I realize, like, he does a lot in that movie of the sideways jump and shoot action. Yeah.
Which, before John Woo, it's like, it was pre-John Woo.
But that, it seems like, for the 90s, like, the three-point stance thing that we see in movies now, that's what it used to be. Was,
I think
like,
you're right,
the sideways, like, goosh, goosh, goosh.
One leg up.
Yeah.
The one thing I remember about this movie most clearly, and it's not even about the actual movie, is I used to go to Planet Hollywood all the time under the guise. I would be like, Dad, take me to Planet Hollywood. That's where the celebrities hang out.
What?
I was naive. But I also met Anthony Michael Hall, so I was also right.
Oh, nice. Jokes on us.
And, I thought you said celebrities.
It was pre-Dead Zone.
Yeah, that's
TV
right.
Show.
I'm starting a beef with Anthony Michael Hall.
And I remember always wanting to eat under the naked Stallone demolition man, because he gets frozen in this movie, and it's like a block of ice, but it's like kind of just naked Stallone. Like, really? And I just thought that was so cool. It's like, whoa, it's like he's in there.
Wait, and that was at Planet Hollywood?
Yes, a big, like, giant, like,
you guys okay?
like 6 by 8 foot circle with, like, a Stallone dummy inside.
You know what they should have done is they should have had a table that was that.
Oh, that's
You should have been able to use that as a table.
And then when you would eat your fries, you could see his junk. Like, oh, yeah. I got it, there it is.
Yeah. I have a feeling that there is someone who has that now, and it is a table.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
That would be the best table of all time.
Guys, let's all chip in and get one of those.
Well, because once Planet Hollywood shut down, all that shit had to go somewhere.
Yeah, someone had to buy Axel Foley's jacket.
Yeah, I'm sure that they weren't like, hey, so Planet Hollywood shutting down, Smithsonian, you guys want Stallone in ice?
You guys want a bunch of garbage?
Yeah. I mean, we're loading it up on the truck and driving it down to you guys. We were just giving you a heads up to move the Millennium Falcon.
There's a great line at the beginning of the movie said by the police chief in Lethal Weapon, who, like, there after, like, he captures Phoenix, and he's like, hey, enough of this Demolition Man shit. Like, that's Stallone's M.O., that he just demolishes stuff?
Well, keep this in mind, okay? In the opening of this movie, upon capturing Phoenix, the entire building both explodes and crumbles to the ground. Like, in seconds.
But they get away.
And they walk out of that.
But if you were to understand why, it was because Wesley Snipes punctured a couple cans of gasoline.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was also a chemical factory.
Guys.
Oh, all right. Maybe it was.
That brings up something I really want to talk about, which is the events of September 11th.
Oh, brother. Well, here's the crazy thing. Stallone goes to jail because the hostages were in the building, but nobody thinks to ask, like, wait, did they die now? Like, did they die from this explosion, or were they shot in the head? Because we learn later on that they were dead. But major spoiler alert.
Major spoilers.
They had been killed by Phoenix.
But by the way, a very harsh sentence for a police officer capturing, like, the world's worst criminal. Like, yeah, that guy started the fire. All he did was knock him out of the window, and he's like, "Oh, you're under arrest."
Right. He made a tough call.
But it would be like, in my opinion, it would be like if Stallone said, "Fuck it, we'll blow up that building."
Right.
Then it would be a tough call. Wesley Snipes blew up the building. He just escaped.
And like, I love.
You're going to jail, bro.
I love that you have injustice. You have a sense of like there is an injustice at the center of this movie. An American hero is tried and sentenced to jail.
He is the only man who could find Phoenix.
Tried to take down a terrorist, and in the as a result, some innocents died. Those are lives lost in the service of a greater good.
What makes it worse is the fact that Wesley Snipes, as he's being taken away, is like, "This. I told him there were people there. I told him there were people there, and he said he didn't care. He didn't care. That's witness testimony." Send him to ice
amazing
jail.
Amazing Wesley Snipes impression.
And then, like, but by the way, it's as if like the cops were like, "Yeah, we believe you, Wesley Snipes, maniac who has taken over Los Angeles over a cop, like who is a hero."
But also, he's a maniac too, because it takes a maniac to catch a maniac.
Sure, that's true. That is true. Well done. Thanks for coming.
What's an act, everybody? What's an act?
By the way, we've only cracked into the first 3 minutes of this.
By the way,
I do have a question.
The credits have not yet happened.
No.
That's true.
This movie has a cold open.
So, but are we to understand that he's been sentenced to jail forever?
No,
for 30 years.
Years. 70.
Oh, 70? I'm sorry.
Okay, 70 years.
In the same jail that Scott Peterson was apparently frozen in.
Yes, I pulled up a screen grab of that as they're going through their records.
I didn't catch this.
Yeah,
as they're pulling up their records, I can show it to you right here. This is all the people that are in jail.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Scott Peterson also had his parole hearing at 8:15. By the way, why would they list it like that? It says 7 a.m. Hyde Quentin, 8:15 Peterson Scott, 7:30 Phoenix Simon. It should be the other way around.
Well, no. In the future,
that was the evening.
Nothing happens in order.
That was an evening parole hearing. Like, they kind of knew that the Scott Peterson one, he had a lot to talk about.
So they both get frozen, and this is before I think people even understood what cryogenics were, because they basically put Stallone Han Solo like in a cube and then fill it full of water. He seems to be choking.
Oh, it is just
very
alarming.
Disturbing sequence.
He's like spinning
up. Very disturbing sequence.
He's also naked. No need to be naked. There's no like real sign of like life signs. Like he's drowned.
Yeah.
In what we're to believe, like oxygen goo? Like I don't like there's he's drowning. There's no way that he's
oh, his
drowning.
Lungs are filling with some sort of gloopy liquid, and then they drop like a freezer thing in and it all freezes and he's like,
I mean, it looks like a terrible way to get frozen. for sure.
Han Solo
the
had
fact
it easier.
That they didn't say, so here's the thing, just lay down and put your hands on top of your thighs. Yeah, they were like, no, we're gonna put you in a weird hot tub thing and do whatever you want. Just make a face. Do one of those guys. Whatever you want. However you want to be frozen. That's your last choice. Like, that's the last thing.
It's very, like, because he is swimming around in there. Like, he's like, because there's a point where the water, the goop is filling up. He's like, whoa. Slip inside.
He also seems okay with it. The thing that really bothered me was that he wasn't like, hey, this isn't cool. I'm a hero.
Yeah, and when someone I don't remember if it's Smithers, there's an officer named Smithers.
Right. Yeah.
But when someone's telling him like what he's going to jail for and listing off like all of the charges, he's just he refuses to hear it and keeps on saying skip it.
Yeah, skip. Yeah.
Just skip it.
Yeah.
But yes,
like
you're
we
right.
all said in 1983, skip it.
But. But the vibe,
93?
Though,
sorry.
The vibe though is like he's been down this road a million times.
But by the
like
way,
he knows what's gonna happen.
And even the parole officer was like, "Hey man, real bummer. I hate to do this to you. I hate to freeze you for 70, but my job." Yeah. Like he does say something like, "I'm not."
And apparently, that's like cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like no biggie.
And by the way, oh gosh, again, the first 5 minutes we are cracking into.
I feel like Wesley Snipes is like, I'm not getting naked and you're not filling up a confined space with me.
Although he's in that trailer you played, there is Wesley Snipes in ICE, which we never see in the
never
movie, right?
The movie. Yeah. Maybe his trial was quicker.
Guys, crack that code.
So when you're frozen, though, like you, hair doesn't grow on your body and your body doesn't age at all.
What's this now?
Well, he's got, he suffers from like below the ears alopecia. That's either below the ears alopecia or like he went to a barber shop and had two different people working on him. Because he's got half of a box that's like, there's a fade that's not finished. And then he's like, you know what? Never mind. Diet. Just diet blonde.
I got to get out of here. Yeah. I got to commit heinous acts of terrorism.
Yeah.
He can't spend all day at the salon. We cut to 2032. Life has changed. It is
Guys,
big time.
Apparently, we all dress like Nazis.
Yes. Nazis are extras.
The police. The police
Nazis are bad extras in Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's dressed like Guinan. Like big, flowy dresses and like plate
hats. Or geishas.
Welcome to Obama's America.
They don't say phone. They call it a fiber optic. I'll fiber optic you back. Which is odd.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't even seem like...
No,
okay.
They've just added... Because they've got no violence, they've like, we got time to kill, so let's just throw extra words.
Oh, yeah.
Homicide? No, it's a murder-death kill.
Yeah. Is this a car I'm driving? No, it's a conveyance.
Yeah.
My conveyance is... we're getting in the conveyance.
And murder, death, kill. I've thought about that a lot.
Me too.
Murder, death, kill. It's redundant. Murder. There's never a murder that doesn't end in death. So you can just rip the death out of there.
Killing is also murder.
Yes. So you can just say kill, because that would imply death and murder. You could just say murder, which implies kill and death. But you don't need to say murder, death, kill.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul. Murder, death, kill. Sylvester Stallone. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Go!
I'm going to murder Stallone. I'm going to kill Schwarzenegger. And I'm going to... I'm going to death Wesley.
When we cut to 2032, we're with Sandy Bullock.
Sandy Bullock.
And she is like a
Huxley.
Uniformed police officer.
Her name is Huxley, Brave New World. Nice reference. This movie is deep and it's smart.
There's so many references in this. Did anybody else notice in the first thing, Stallone punches a guy who's dressed like the Terminator?
Did anybody
else notice that? Yeah. Right? There is a guy who's dressed like, there's this too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Schwarzenegger reference later on.
There is.
Wait, do you think that Wesley Snipes dyed his hair because Joe Pesci had done it in Lethal Weapon?
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
I did want to talk about this.
Wait, do you think that's Joel Silver being like, Joe Pesci's blonde hair worked, we're going to do blonde hair in this?
Blonde hair is cool.
Yeah.
Basically, just so you know, people at home, that Sandra Bullock is a big, like, 20th century fan, so that's why her office has... a Lethal Weapon 3 poster. Not even the best, like the one of the worst of the Lethal Weapons.
Whoa.
Hang on, bro.
Like, it's so weird.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, because they've definitely lasted. The Chili Peppers carried over to 2032.
2032!
And there's
a
little
just,
Joker.
She's
a Joker
just
from
obsessed
Batman.
With the 90s. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but
hey guys,
she
be cool.
keeps on saying she's obsessed with the 20th.
And what about this one? The great, they're like, oh yeah, Chili Peppers, Lethal Weapon, and a poster for the band Bomb. Hate Fed Love. What? Like, I feel like that was Joel Silver's kid.
Yeah.
And he was like, we gotta get into a little bit.
If we put just a poster in the movie, we'll move some units.
But she
is a uniformed police officer in 2032, just driving her police car around, and calls the prison warden. She calls the prison warden to say, hey warden, how come there's no crime? I'm bored. She's a police officer, like just a regular. It is crazy.
She's looking for action. Little does she know she's gonna get it.
Here, I will say what's kind of what they did predict was they did predict the iPad, because the warden has an iPad, but it's just got like a shiny silver frame. Like
Steve Jobs, a lot of people think Steve Jobs got the inspiration for the iPad from this movie.
That's he got.
By the way, whenever
true story. Before he died, he said that.
Yeah. He said it as he died.
Yeah.
Watch Demolition Man.
All the answers for Apple products are in Demolition Man. And then X is over his eyes. He's dead.
Well, that's why they included the script in that Jobs book. It was just the
Yep, yep. The appendix of the Jobs book is just the script for Demolition Man.
That's gonna be prescient. That's going to be my favorite part of the Ashton Kutcher movie is because in the movie... they show him watch Demolition Man, but they don't cut. They just show him watch the whole movie.
Him jerking off to Demolition Man. Because everybody knows Steve Jobs jerked off to Demolition Man. That's where we're at.
It is proven.
And you can download this podcast on iTunes.
It'll be ripped off iTunes immediately.
Sorry to interrupt. We're just going to give you a quick word from our sponsors. I appreciate you listening because these guys help us keep the lights on. Not literally, more like the board's alive, but you get the idea. Listen. Guys, I got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is today's show is brought to you by Hulu Plus, the greatest thing to happen to television since television was invented. The bad news is if you sign up now, you'll get a free trial of Hulu Plus today. Oh, that's not bad news. I tricked you, motherfucker. All right, that's right. I pulled one over on you. It's both good news. This is phenomenal. I am a Hulu Plus convert. I never had it. When they offered to come to the show, I said, let me check it out. This thing is amazing. I use it on my Apple TV. I love it. Catch up on my episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Watch Kate Mulgrew, who's from my show, NTSF SDSUV. Check her out as a vibrant starship captain. Just rocking the D quadrant, the C quadrant, one of those quadrants. They got amazing shows. I mean, Buffy, Firefly. They got like British shows on there, the Mitchell and Webb look. Like, it's pretty amazing. If you're into anime, they got that too. Naruto, I think that's a thing. I'm not familiar with it, but I've seen it up there. Plus, you can always catch up on your favorite show, which is now my new favorite show, Whodunit. Have you watched this show? It's so good. Oh, man. I'm enjoying Hulu Plus. It's great. It's just really great. Use Hulu Plus on connected TVs, game consoles, Blu-ray players, Roku, Apple TV, PC, anywhere you want, on your smartphone or tablet. It's all just, what? $7.99 a month. Bam! That's less than $8 for you to have so much entertainment, you can never finish it. And they're offering you an extended free trial. So what do you have to do? What do you have to lose? Get an extended free trial! Try it! And if you do the trial, this is what you're going to do. To get this trial, you gotta go HuluPlus.com/how. That's H-O-W. That's HuluPlus.com/how. They're helping you, and they're helping us. Thank you, Hulu Plus.
So anyway, oddly, Wesley Snipes has a parole hearing for a mass murderer. Seems odd. Seems odd that he's getting a parole hearing.
Wasn't he sentenced to eternity?
Yes.
Wasn't he sentenced to eternity? Yeah.
But yet they still run parole hearings just in case. Like, Stallone accidentally killed 20 people. He still has 30. 40 years before a parole hearing. Snipes gets one. He gets out immediately. No explanation how. Because he breaks out of cuffs. He doesn't do anything. He's like, I didn't
know. Oh, no. That's because they programmed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
the bad guy
programmed him. He would have to be sentient to a computer to unlatch it. Like, he didn't do like, bop, 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 bop.
No, he knew the code word. The guy says, how'd you know the code word?
Oh, code word.
Yeah, he said whatever. Like, he says, yeah.
He said, like, Diddy Pants. And then it was something that fucking
silly.
It was like, Diddly Pants. And then the handcuffs opened up.
And then they say, how did you know the password? He goes, I don't know. And that's why he's able to use all the, like, he goes up to an ATM and is like, like, as if.
Do you mean a self-esteem machine?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Wesley Snipes escapes very quickly. By the way, I feel like Wesley, I would like to look at the script because I feel like Wesley Snipes improvised
every line. I feel like he was like, yeah, I'll be in this movie if I don't have to say any of your dumb words.
There's a scene where he's just speaking in Spanish, and I happened to watch a DVD last night, and the audio director's commentary was on. He's like, yeah, Wasik just started doing the scene in Spanish, and we thought it was funny, so we just let him do it. And I was like, I'm proven right.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah, like, that's why he talks to the parole officer.
I love that you just said, and for some reason the director's commentary was on, as if you didn't turn on director's commentary.
No, I didn't.
I saw it. He couldn't figure out the DVD.
We couldn't figure out the DVD for you last night. I don't get that old shit, man. I'm about Netflix Instant and Hulu Plus.
Oh, I'm about streaming.
Yeah. So
here's what's really weird about this movie, though. Overall, this is just a general comment.
Is the macro point?
Yeah, I'm gonna take it macro for a second because it's so like you don't know exactly what you're rooting for. Like, there's this new society, and it is violence free, but there are certain freedoms, like the freedom to eat fast food, that have been taken away from us.
June, haven't you heard Dennis Leary's rant from his
stand-up special? I did.
There are a lot of problems.
So, but you're put in a position where it's like, as an audience member, you're hearkening back to the better times of 1996, which was like full of mass violence. Yeah.
Hey,
like,
but
what
don't
are we
we
wishing for here?
But at the same time, there are people today who are like, oh, it was so much easier in the 50s. And it's
course.
Like, not for me, it wasn't.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't know what you mean.
If you are unclear about why people are upset, here is Dennis Leary's rant, which this is at the height of Dennis Leary being a stand-up, and I feel like they're like, do your thing, man. Just have fun.
Yeah.
And Dennis Leary, just so you know, Dennis Leary is like a society is rid of violence and everything's great and glossy and funny. And Dennis Leary is like the leader of the bad people that live underground, like in a kind of Matrix Revolutions kind of scenario.
So he's like a
Robin Hood type figure.
Yeah.
And by the way, their graffiti
is amazing.
It's unbelievable. And what they write in one of the first scenes of the movie is just simply life is hell.
Yeah.
Life is hell.
By the way, they have a graffiti, an anti-graffiti machine, which they show out works, but it's just like poles that shoot out of concrete. So I don't understand how the graffiti disappears. It just seems like
you wouldn't get it, man.
But meanwhile, Wesley Snipes uses it to beat up people. So we'll jack up the volume a little bit because these clips are a little bit low, but here you go. This is Dennis Leary's rant.
See, according to Cocteau's plan, I'm the enemy because I like to think. I like to read. I'm into freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy who likes to sit with a greasy spoon and wonder, gee, should I have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with a side order of gravy fries? I want high cholesterol. I want to eat bacon and butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke a Cuban cigar the size of Cincinnati in a non-smoking section. I want to run through the streets naked with green jello all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay, pal? I've seen the future. You know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking a banana broccoli shake singing I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener. You live up top and live cocktails away. What he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Your other choice? Come down here. Maybe starve to death.
And then he breaks into his hit song, I'm an Asshole, right? That was that, like, that song that he had, like, where he did stand-up material during a song.
The other great part of that is that, go back to that for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Black is one of the underground dwellers.
Oh, really?
What? Yeah, go to the very end. Go to the very end. I saw it in the credits, and I was like, that's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
That is awesome. Pre-Bob Roberts. Oh, wow, that's awesome. So that's the villain of the movie. So basically...
Wait, that's the villain of the movie?
Well, I mean, he is, because basically Cocteau, the new...
No!
Cocteau
is the villain.
Well, but I'm saying Cocteau says he's the villain, so he...
Hey, Paul, why are you listening to Cocteau?
Yeah.
The guy created a great San Angeles, guys.
Hey, man, I'm starting to think you're part of Cocteau's plan.
Whatever. I like wiping my ass with three seashells. No big deal. That's another, like, weird thing. Like, why would you Flintstones it? Like, why would you go from toilet paper to seashells? Because according to Stallone, he said, he asked the director, and it's quoted as saying, it was explained to me the seashells, you hold two of them like chopsticks, and then you pull gently and scrape what's left behind with the third.
What?
So you are like, you're going, it seems way more...
Wait, what?
To have a shit in
wait,
the future.
But how is it cleaned?
So you're
wait,
going,
what?
You're going chopstick style, and as you are getting the middle of the log of crap, you're pulling that out, and then you're taking the third shell, and you're
so wait a second.
Get that on.
We're talking like right, like this.
A pull and a wipe. God, they didn't even know about the Cottonelle soft wipe. That shit is
wait,
so much more futuristic.
But you can't, when you say you hold them chopstick style, so you hold two seashells with one hand?
Yes, like that, and you're getting in there and you're pulling it
but
out.
But we saw those
sure,
seashells,
like how crabs
they're big.
They were pretty big, and they were very clean. So you'd have to wash the shit off of these seashells. Like, who was like, oh yeah, that's actually more convenient than paper that I used once and dumped in the toilet.
That makes
also,
no
if
sense.
You're somebody like, because it was how it was, what it was like, they're like 80-year-olds who should be alive during this time who yeah. were like, wait a minute, no toilet paper. There was nothing. There was nothing about toilet paper that made
didn't
us a
work.
Violent society.
Yep.
Like toilet paper, if anything, kept us from being a more violent society.
Yeah.
Why in your utopia that does not involve the rest of the country?
Yeah, what is
do
happening
you,
with the rest of the country?
Do you get rid of toilet paper? And also, can we have the word homicide back? Because it's really murder, death, kill. It's
the best mouthful. Part of murder, death, kill was when the computer reports like a 187 or like
right.
the code,
yeah.
and they're like, well, what is that? Huh? Yeah. I don't even know what that. Well, let's look it up. Look up 187. Oh, it's a murder, death, kill. Don't you think as a police officer you would know exactly what that thing is?
Man, they're pussies in the future. They don't know anything. They're eating their banana broccoli shakes.
Benjamin Bratt, what a pussy in this movie.
Ay-yi-yi. Jack Black in that resistance at the end. And he
yeah.
There's so much good stuff in here. Basically, Wesley Snipes gets out. I want to show you this one clip of just like, again, Wesley Snipes improvising. And this is when and you have to listen again. I know these clips are a little bit low, but you have to listen to Wesley Snipes being racist to a bunch of Asian people.
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing.
So, Wesley, they figure out that Wesley Snipes' big plan is to get a gun. So
which are obsolete.
Right.
Like, nobody has guns anymore, so he has to go to a museum.
And here he is trying to figure out where it is in the museum map.
This looks like a screen cap from, like, that, like, Sim City. Like the.
Here we go. So pay attention to when the Asian people walk by.
The earthquake of 2010.
For no reason.
Now,
wait,
not only.
One more time. Watch him just go to town in the East.
Of 2010.
Now, not only did Wesley Snipes do that, somebody was like, or everybody was like, yeah, that's in. Yeah.
I know we're like 5 minutes over, but that's
we
it.
Gotta keep that's this. It. This
and he
is
children. Those are all children actors.
Yep.
Like sometimes you like curb that stuff in front of kids. Like I don't want to show them that side of Hollywood. Nope. He's like, dang, dong, dong.
Hey Wesley, that was great, but one of the kids tripped. Can we take that again? Let's do it.
Now, do you remember what you did?
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Oh my gosh. So basically, you know, we don't have to get into the big plot of it. Stallone is unfrozen. Wesley Snipes is unfrozen. They wreck a lot of havoc in the future.
Basically, Futurama.
Yeah. And.
Wow, I didn't. Didn't realize there were so many Futurama fans, but
there aren't. Canceled a second time.
Oh.
Really? 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 Then you should have watched.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't mean to get back into the shit talk, but. There is a moment, like, Sylvester Stallone is unfrozen. They bring him right to the police place. He gets in a uniform right away. he's fully a cop, and he's like, hey, to Sandra Bullock, by the way, you had a toilet paper. So that means that he's walking around with shit in his ass.
No, he was holding a shit.
He didn't go.
He didn't go because then he swears a bunch.
He swears a bunch, and every time you swear, you get a ticket. So he swears a whole bunch, so a whole bunch of paper tickets come out, and he goes, thanks, I'll be in the bathroom.
Yeah. Here's the weird thing
about
Sandy.
He was just going to go read those in the bathroom like
a newspaper? I thought he had taken a shit, and was like, oh, damn it, there's no toilet paper. All right, I can go out there, tell him the problem, then get a bunch of tickets and wipe my ass. Like, he just pulled up his pants real quick, so he's got... He's doing that scene with shit in his ass.
Hey, Paul, how are you living? What are you? Do you live like an animal? Like, do you not check if there's toilet paper before you go?
I think he was like, I've been frozen for 40 years. I got this goo coming out of my ass because it's all up in all everything. I need to like shake this shit out. I can't hold it in. Oh, there's no toilet paper. I'm freaked out. I gotta go out there. I'm embarrassed. This girl's kind of cute. I need to wipe my ass. I gotta be cool with her and just whisper.
Let me ask you this,
also,
Paul.
Also, bidets. They had bidets in the 90s, and somebody was like, oh, bidet. No, I figured out a method.
I found three seashells.
Three metal seashells, yeah. They appeared to be. Paul, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When Stallone was frozen, he had a family, I think.
Oh, yeah, he did. And when he asked about that family, here's what he was told.
And then I have a mind-blowing question afterwards.
Okay, great.
I think we have the same question.
I think we all have the same question.
Yes.
I think we all have the same question.
By the way, if you are a fan of
Stallone, I'm just going to... Should we just go... Sandra Bullock is 100% his daughter, right?
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock is 100% his daughter.
Yes. Thank you.
She doesn't let her look it up.
She's about to look it up. She's like, I can look it up.
And
he's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because then when I fuck you, it'll be weird.
Oh, my God.
This is like old boy shit.
Spoilers for old boy.
Guys,
you rocked my world.
Right? The minute that happened, I was like, oh, she's his daughter. Then they had the sex scene, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is going to be really weird when they reveal that she's his daughter.
But it was just mind sex, so you could kind of play it off.
I was kind of okay with it. But then he kisses her, and I was like, barf.
Yeah.
But then, by barf, I mean barf out of my wiener, I came. Super into incest, guys. Super into incest.
But by the way the movie ends, and spoiler alert, but it looks like he's going to go off with her.
His daughter.
They're together.
His daughter. Yeah. Come on. This is a dystopian future.
By the way, there's no other explanation that's offered.
I am wrong.
There's no other explanation because they spent so much time.
They spent so much time with where's the daughter? Is there a daughter? The wife is dead. We know that.
Yeah.
But there's a daughter and blah, blah, blah.
And I don't want to see the daughter because she won't like me because I've been in ICE jail.
But I want to fuck you, baby. I should make sure you're not my daughter. Oh, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
But all right.
First thing I do...
One hole in this theory. He was married. His last name is Huxley. Or his last name is Spartan. She's Huxley. How did you change her name?
Who knows?
I'm not worried about that. She may be remarried.
His wife remarried.
And by the way, it's like it's a new society. Who the fuck knows what happened?
Thank you. We are 100% on the same page.
Yeah.
He's fucking his daughter.
Yeah. That's what also seemed weird when he was having mind sex and he was like freaked out by it. It seemed like
a horror movie.
Yeah, that it was like he was like kind of into it, and then it was like, oh, wait a minute, this could be my kid.
Yeah.
No, I gotta go.
I really thought we were gonna learn that information, and that we didn't was very upsetting.
Well, do you want?
I mean, Sex in the Future.
You guys wanna watch Sex in the Future? The following scene is pretty amazing. I let it go long. Here we go.
Also, why do they fucking love jingles?
We'll begin in a few seconds. Having sex, of course.
I want to talk to Sandra Bullock about this movie.
Stallone, again, great acting here. Watch this.
not. Not cool. Oh shit!
It's, by the way, it's filmed like
this is
a
my
horror
daughter.
Sequence.
Yeah. It's a horror.
It's a
movie.
Horror sequence.
Yeah. Is this my daughter? Wait a minute. Oh yeah.
We both have clefts in our chin.
What? What? What?
What's wrong? He broke contact.
Contact? I didn't touch you yet.
Wow.
Guys, that just happened.
That is, I think, the most graphic sex scene I've seen, even though it's not graphic. It's like, it's, he's a...
The zoom-ins on his face.
Yeah.
Look.
Because you never see him, naked. Mm. And by the way, this is a great look in the future, just the tuxedo vest without sleeves.
Yeah.
Or tuxedo jacket without sleeves.
Yeah, in a world where everyone's...
It appears as if he has a right sleeve.
Oh, did it?
No, I think he didn't have either sleeve. But in a world where, like, everybody's a fucking wimp, like, the fact that they're like, but we're going to go sleeveless to show off our muscles, even though we don't have violence or anything like that.
I have a feeling they gave him, like, a full album. He's like, I'm ripping these sleeves off. Yeah. Because everyone else has sleeves. Like, I feel like he was like, rip. All right,
it's the same thing in Over the Top, when the kid had a jacket, and he was like, I want this kid to have no sleeves.
I do like, by the way, that they refer to Simon Phoenix, the Wesley Snipes character, as maniac a lot. Like,
yes,
yeah.
Stand down, maniac. Or, like, the maniac is not listening.
Yes,
like,
right.
That, like, why? That seems an overtly confrontational term.
Yeah.
Criminal maniac just seems heightened.
Or even just, hey, suspect.
Yes.
Did they go in this future? They, like, went zero to George Zimmerman. Just, like, I don't know if you're the person I'm supposed to be stopping, but get on the ground, maniac!
Get on the ground, maniac. Oh my God.
I think we all know what maniac is code for, guys.
Oh, man. And then, also the movie is based on this idea that Wesley Snipes needs to find the gun, but yet he steals a stick from a police officer that, when injected into a car, blows it up.
Well, also,
like, oh, you know what? Fuck the gun. I'll take this stick that blows shit up.
And
like,
when
that was only because
the museum, though, the guns are all in like a glass structure, and he behaves as though he's never seen glass in the 90s.
He gets excited
like, he's
about
so
seeing a
confused.
Cannon, like an old school pirate cannon. He's like, ooh, what do we got here?
Well, he was never, as a child, he was never taken to a museum, and that's why he turned to that life of crime. It really says something about the state of public education.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying,
here
perhaps
we go.
if it was a little better, you know.
He had a good time at the museum. He was learning.
Yeah, he went to like that school that the kids in The Wire went to. And then was like, oh, this is going crazy.
So in the world of Demolition Man, is there a world outside of San Angeles?
You would argue that that would be yes. I mean,
well, we do. We learn
that
there's an enormous earthquake that kills everybody, basically.
Yeah, a lot of lights were extinguished.
And if Sandra Bullock said, and my mother was also killed in that earthquake, it would have been good.
Oh.
Wait, oh, yeah?
Well, she was,
yeah.
She was so, oh, but no, here, actually, this is why her name is Huxley. Because her mother died, her dad's in jail, she gets adopted, she never knew her mom.
Oh, shit!
Again,
Ryan Sinek!
She lives twice in a show.
Two exits. Two bold exits.
Oh, here's another thing. When Stallone's trying to have sex with his daughter, he goes, oh, we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna knock boots. We're not gonna hunka chunka.
Yeah.
Hunka chunka. When was that a phrase for sex?
Oh.
It was between 93 when the movie was made and 96 when the movie is set.
Hunka chunka. Hey, you want a hunka chunka?
Yeah,
it was really gross.
My favorite.
I remember Color Me Bad sang a song, Hunka Chunka. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt today's episode, but we have an important announcement from our sponsors. Guys, if you trust my expertise on bad movies, then you gotta trust my opinion about websites. How do they relate? I don't know, but you should be using Squarespace, okay? For all your website needs, Squarespace is the best website platform out there in terms of design, functionality, and choice. I'm just telling you, as a person who knows nothing about HTML, I don't know how anything goes. I want to go on my computer, I want to build a website, because I need to build it quick. Maybe my son got kidnapped. Maybe I need to build a missing person website. I'm going to go to Squarespace because I can drag and drop. I am too busy crying and filling out police reports. People, I don't have time to learn code. You can do so much with the platform. You can literally create an entire graphic novel and house it on the internet using Squarespace. Can you believe it? You should. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The way that you create this site, right? They have templates that you can use. You can throw them away. You can make it adjustable with the drag and drop boxes. Squarespace will automatically scale to any browsing device. It's genius. I just looked at it the other day. I love it. Guys, I need to find my son. He's missing. And what website am I going to? Yes, you know it. Squarespace. Sign up for Squarespace for a year, right? They'll give you a free domain name. And one of the listeners on this show, Catherine Murray, tweeted at me with the link to her freshly created Squarespace website. She uses it to advertise her calligraphy writing. And I think it looks beautiful and professional. So go for it, Catherine. Catherine Murray, calligraphy's the best. Go to Squarespace today for a free trial, no credit card required. And if you decide to purchase, make sure you get 10% off by using our offer code. This actually helps us pay the bills. So use our offer code when you do it, because then they go, oh, you came from our show and not some jackhole show. Our offer code is MADE. That's MADE. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website.
One of my favorite things is once Simon Phoenix has escaped and they've thawed out Sylvester Stallone, they're like, okay, well, we've run the computer program. We know what he's going to do. It is determined that he will try and set up a drug lab and start a new crime syndicate. That must be his plan.
Yeah.
And that made me furious. Because I was like, you are fucking assholes. If you think, like, and Sylvester Stallone rightfully is like, you guys are assholes, and I felt vindicated.
Also, do you realize how long it takes to set up a drug lab?
In this environment?
Yeah.
It would be almost impossible.
You can't even sell people on the idea of taking drugs.
Right.
They can't find
a drug that they, like, that,
yes.
Like, you don't have, like, weed or cocaine available. Right. Like, you're going to have to go into a lab and make some sort of synthetic drug. You're going to have to do human trials.
Yep.
You're going to have to make
they
sure it's addictive.
They can't stop graffiti artists.
It would
be like saying in this time, it would be like, he's going to set up a loom factory, and people are going to go there and get tapestries.
It's going to take some doing.
Yeah.
It's gonna
this
take
is
some
a seven-year plan.
Yeah.
His drug lab idea, that's 7 years.
Yeah. That's a big world. Yeah, that's a big chunk that he's going to get into. By the way, it's also a very low-tier plan.
So, but we come to understand once Stallone is...
They're always looking for him, but they can clearly find him because he curses all the time. Whenever he curses, a ticket comes out of the machines. It's like, oh, you'll just follow the cursing machines. Like, that's where he is. They never use the cursing machines to locate him. Sorry.
By the way, great point.
We all...
Better cop than Rob Schneider.
We all should go to the future and be future cops.
We come to understand that while Stallone was frozen, he was conscious during that entire time.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has that monologue.
Oh, right, yeah.
Do you want to hear his monologue?
But
say your point first.
No, let's watch it first, for sure.
Here's a great dramatic monologue from Sylvester Stallone about his time in cryo jail.
And even though there's an Asian person in this scene, there is no offensive language about them.
Here we go.
Listen, sister. I don't want to spoil your dinner, pal, but my cryo sentence was no sweet lullaby. I had feelings and I had thoughts. How about a 36-year nightmare about people caught in a burning building? You would awake.
I don't think so.
I do think so. and my wife beating her fist against a block of ice that used to be her husband. Then you were nice enough to wake me up and let me know everything that meant something in my life is gone.
It would have been more
to take me down and leave me to the fucking crows.
What would you say if I called you a brutish fossil, symbolic of a decayed era? Great.
I love that lady.
The guy from Beetlejuice playing the same character.
I honestly thought the whole, like, her thing, she wanted to fuck him.
Oh, yeah.
She, and oh, yeah. I was waiting for that moment where, like, he takes her into the into the Taco Bell bathroom.
She?
And it's like, I've done this before in a Taco Bell bathroom, but never one this nice.
Yeah. She is wet.
I oddly got the, I guess, the European version of this online. And Taco Bell is replaced with Pizza Hut.
What?
And, why? Yeah.
But they didn't change it all out, so there are some scenes that, like, so you see a Taco Bell sign, and then they say pizza. It's like, let's go to this Pizza Hut, but it's Taco Bell. Because there's no Taco Bell in, I guess, foreign countries.
I went to college at the University of North Carolina, and the one thing that I can take pride in is that a fellow alum, Dan Cortez, was the piano player in the Taco Bell. Combination, cool. Combination Pizza Hut Taco Bell.
Oh,
whoa!
I like that.
Yeah,
that's I like that.
Yeah,
Cortez is playing on the piano, like Jolly Green Giant. It's a great scene. Jesse the Body Ventura is in this movie.
Yep.
As one.
Where?
He's one of the thawed out thugs that Simon Phoenix asks to be thawed out.
And by the way, a huge question mark on that one, only because, like, Simon Phoenix is like, yeah, if you want me to kill Dennis Leary, I gotta get, like, a bunch of my guys out. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. We'll release more crazy people in this world. And then at the end of the movie, those guys are not captured. They're probably forming that drug lab.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But well, a few of them were talking about it, like, hey, we could really make a killing with a drug lab. Yeah. Also, do you know, did he ever thaw out Jeffrey Dahmer? Because he was so excited about getting to meet Jeffrey Dahmer.
Great news. John Hine is tweeting about the show. John Hine from the Howard Stern Show.
He was just here.
I do know that the police don't seem too worried about Simon Phoenix being out, because at one point Benjamin Bratt says, it'll just be a matter of TikToks until we find him.
Again, overcomplicating the word time.
Because in the future, we use longer and more words to say short things.
Here's what's so confusing about Sandy Bullock's character. She set up as wanting to see violence and action so badly. But the second something actually happens, she doesn't do anything.
No.
She just
until later when she kicks a little ass because...
Fine, but she her instinct is to unfreeze someone else to get in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Her dad.
Yeah.
Just her father.
/ sexual partner. I mean, like, there's an argument to be made that she wants to see action because it's in her blood.
Wow. Yeah.
Genetic. It's in her blood.
It's genetic.
That's why everybody else is docile and lame, and she has the blood of John Spartan in her. John Spartan?
Yeah.
She has the blood of John Spartan in her, she will have the semen of John Spartan in her.
Point in this movie, there's a part in this movie where Wesley Snipes threatens Cocteau, who's actually in on the whole thing, and we know that it's not a secret and it's not really revealed in an interesting way, and and he runs away, and then everyone just kind of takes a break. It's like, oh yeah, we're hunting that guy anyway, do you want to come to Taco Bell tonight? Yeah, let's go to Taco Bell, let's go back to your apartment. And like, there's a long period of time where Wesley Snipes, he escapes in the daylight, we catch back up with him at night, and he's like, all right, here I am going down here. Like, there's just everyone just took time off.
Yeah, he jumped into some bushes, and they were like, I'm not getting this fancy new outfit dirty.
Can I defend the Wesley Snipes Asian racist moment for a second? Because here's the thing, I do, because as I'm thinking
defending it. Just want to make sure we're clear on this.
I'd like to defend it. As I'm thinking about the movie and watching it.
He unfroze Paula Deen too, by the way.
As I'm watching the clips, a lot of people in the movie are dressed, I mean, there's some Asian inspiration in terms of style.
Oh, boy,
they're
Here we go. Here we go.
I think there were a lot of scenes that might not have made it into the final cut in which there were a lot of Asian people and inspired things in San Angeles. And so that moment was actually him saying, like, oh, they're everywhere.
Right.
Well, I can see.
Also, I'm not saying it makes
also,
it right. But so the you're motivation defending is a little it. Bit different.
But no, I would say also in his walk to the museum, because however he figured out the museum, as he's walking around in this world he doesn't recognize, he'd be like, wait a minute, why is everybody wearing kimonos? Am I in Japan? And then he's like, is this Japan? And then they're like, no, we just dress this way because it's much more convenient than what we used to wear. That's crazy. And then it like is his racism builds over time.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But yet it's just not as racist.
He still manages to find future overalls. Everybody else is wearing like flowing gowns, and he still manages to find future overalls
and a mesh dressed, tank top.
He is dressed like Crisscross in this movie. He is full-blown Crisscross. And like for whatever reason, there's like a Demolition Man logo on the front of his overalls. I don't know where he got that, but there, you know.
It was from the cryo lab.
Yeah, they all got those plastic things. That's not a Demolition Man logo.
They had that.
That's just something from the prison.
Okay. I will say in the Dennis Leary underground Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sewer world. Why did the lady who made cheeseburgers look like Frida Kahlo?
Yes.
Alice Weir.
Yes. 100%.
She's alive and she's been living down. That's her new resistance.
Yep. In the future, in this version of the future, Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera live in an underground city.
And makes rap burgers.
Guys, let me just drop some facts on you about this movie and I want to hear your reactions to them. Lori Petty was originally cast in the role that Sandra Bullock played.
Tank Girl?
Yes, and after a few days of filming, was fired and replaced with Sandra Bullock.
Wow.
A few days, so we don't know. So we have to get that footage. It's the Eric Stoltz, Marty McFly footage.
I feel like she probably tried to get fired.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck? I'm fucking my dad?
Yeah.
The original movie was written for Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Amazing.
Van Damme was offered the role of the bad guy, but didn't want that role. He agreed to star in it if both lead roles could be switched. But Seagal was like, well, I don't want to play the bad guy. So then that movie was scrapped.
Seagal was like, I don't want to say racist things about Asians.
Oh. He thinks he
The Dalai Lama has said that I am like a monk who is reborn, or whatever he claimed a couple of years ago.
Here's two other facts that are interesting. Jackie Chan was supposed to be Wesley Snipes, but Jackie Chan said he didn't want to play a bad guy because Asian audiences don't like good guys who become bad guys.
He is name-checked in it.
Yes, because Sandra Bullock is a big Jackie Chan fan.
Oh,
but in the European version, he says Bruce Lee.
He says Bruce Lee, not Jackie Chan. Oh, interesting.
Could you imagine Jackie Chan doing that part and then being ching chong ching chong ching?
He's a self-hating Asian.
Yeah. I thought in the future they got rid of me.
Here are two other things. These are all like amazing facts. Wesley Snipes' kicks and punches look lurchy and awkward because he's such a good karate guy in real life that his punches were so fast that it blurred in the camera.
Oh my god.
So they made him slow it down so it looks weird.
That's amazing.
And in Kuwait, the movie was simply called Rambo the Destroyer.
Rambo also name-checked in this movie.
Yes.
Wesley Snipes gets guns and is like, thanks, Rambo, or something like that. And then Luke Skywalker is also name-checked in this movie. There's a lot of pop culture references from the 1980s in 2032. Yeah.
Also, I am wondering if in the Expendables movies, Sylvester Stallone wears a beret. And I'm wondering if he just took the beret from Demolition Man, or if this is some kind of a nod to all the guys and gals who went to DemoCon.
I And where does that beret come from?
When because the cops were not wearing berets.
No, it was in his box. He had a box of stuff
with a with yarn.
Yes. Remember when he knit a sweater? Remember when in one night Sylvester Stallone knit a red sweater?
Yeah. And by the way, by the way, he knit an entire sweater out of like one ball of yarn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how good the rehabilitation program was.
He and his daughter. That was going to be like fully realized, and that was going to be like paid off in a wonderful way. The final sequence.
I want to learn to knit now, just so I can start an Etsy shop called John Spartan.
John Spartan sweaters for my daughter wife.
I wanted, before we go out to the audience, because I'm sure you guys have some things that we might have missed, I do want to play a scene that Jason, which said that we should definitely play, and I agree with
him. I'm going to pee while we do this because it's too sexy for me to deal with.
So, obviously Wesley Snipes, from the way he's dressed, is pretty hip-hop. So, they score the fight scene with a little bit of hip-hop here. Let's have some records. So, listen to the record scratches during this fight scene. Here we go.
Hey, wait for me!
Yeah, and then you never hear it for the rest of the movie.
Never again.
Throughout the movie, they hired different people to score it and then fired them. Like, they would submit one song and it was like, huh? Get out. And then another person, like, but we don't have the budget to have them rescore the whole movie. Just let them do the next song. That's your song, Get Out. Because even at the very end, like when Stallone's hanging from the grabber thing, the music there is like weirdly like orchestral, but like fast and kind of circusy.
I feel like no one really knew what was going on, but they were psyched that it was happening. Like, we're doing something!
The best in this sequence, though, is when they cut back to everyone in the police station who's watching violence, I guess, for the first time. I mean, that's what I think that scene is about, right? Like, they've never seen it.
Yeah.
But, like, so my question is, they've never seen movies, they've never seen...
Well, she's a 90s aficionado.
Right,
she must have seen some Stallone films.
Right. I mean, no, she just has the poster for Lethal Weapon 3.
Well, and Rambo is talked about, so... Rambo exists.
Did you use three seashells in there?
What's that?
Did you use the three seashells?
Yeah. I used three seashells.
But that brings up a good point. There's a moment where, like, when the warden is killed, and they're like, bring him up on screen. They show him dying, and they're all just like, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's a bummer. They didn't call for help, backup. They're like, oh, let's just watch him bleed out. Okay.
Also, in 2036, I just have to say, 2036. I think there's only two women on the police force.
Yeah.
Like, really?
There's Benjamin Bratt, too, and he's kind of a lady.
They really built
it. Dennis Leary are gay. Like, the end of the movie, like, they're together, and they're, like, side by side, and he's like, fuck it. And Dennis Leary's like, high five. And then, like, there's a moment between the two of them.
Yeah, because he, like, gets dressed, like, they change his clothes. They give him a makeover and rip the sleeves off his outfit and put a vest on him.
No sleeves.
Yeah. They put a vest, like, good, yeah, you're one of us now. Wear this vest.
There are obviously some things that we missed, and that's why we go out to you, the audience. If you have questions, things that we might have missed, things you want to inform us about. Oh, my gosh, this guy's clutching up. All right, your name, your favorite scene of the movie, and your question. Oh, he wrote it down on his iPad. Here we go.
You mean on his fiber op.
Yeah. Read your fiber op.
My name is... Chris, I think my
You thought way too long.
I know. Well, and he was reading.
Move on.
Like, he was
Move
reading
on.
As Make he said sense. It. Like,
my name is Chris.
What I was actually thinking about is my favorite scene in the movie, because there's so many great ones. I think it's the Blood Sugar Sex Magic, Lethal Weapon 3, framing of Sandra Bullock's office. I just wanted to bring up that the director of this movie, which I had to look up because I was like, where did this come from? I just want to read his, like, the first line of his Wikipedia bio. Marco Vembrilla is a New York-based video collage and installation artist known for his elaborate recontextualizations of popular and found imagery, which Vanity Fair praises as critiques and masterpieces of visual overload.
Well, that
lines up.
That
lines up.
Sounds like the guy that I want directing Demolition Man.
And by the way, this movie is not like poorly directed.
Are you sure about that?
Well, no, yeah. I agree with you.
But I mean, like in the scheme, like in the grand scheme of like The Room.
Are you sure about that?
I mean, in that.
Did you see that sex scene?
Yeah, you're right. That's a pretty great video installation. Yeah. All right. Your name. Your favorite thing that Simon Phoenix did in your question. Here we go.
My name is Tom. Favorite thing that Simon Phoenix did was actually the opening fight sequence when he just goes crazy to hip-hop music. And my question is, it's more of an explanation, Hope, but...
Nice reference.
This guy gets it. This guy gets it.
I was wondering, the entire building does get blown up in the opening scene, right? So how did they find 20 bodies in a matter of seconds?
Very good point.
Very good point.
Because they were left out to the front, maybe. There is in the front of the building.
maybe the explosion.
I think Phoenix must, here's what I think. I think Phoenix must have killed them by lighting them on fire or something. Because otherwise,
put them in a dumpster, and they were going through the dumpster.
No, he froze. He said he froze them so that way, because Stallone early on is like, I did a thermo scan, and there was only 8 people in that giant building.
And he says the reason you didn't know is because they were dead already.
When he froze them. He froze them so that they wouldn't show up on a thermo scan.
The cops in Los Angeles thought that Stallone froze these people to death?
No.
That's what Simon Phoenix did.
They thought that he was a cowboy and went in and just with reckless abandon caused the death of these 20 hostages. And what they didn't know is that Simon Phoenix had already killed and frozen the hostages to frame John. Oh, I'm dying. I'm fucking dying. This is our lives. We try and make sense of this for you.
I'm looking for a lady.
But here's the last question about that. So the cops found them frozen, though. The cops found the bodies frozen.
No, because the fire, they've got flash fries.
They really did just take Phoenix's word for it that they were dead.
Yes.
That's the injustice that I was complaining about.
Yeah, you're right.
This is the kind of world I don't want to live in, 1980. Okay. Your name, what you would say to Simon Phoenix at his trial, and your question.
I don't know.
All right, forget it. You're not going to ask the question. All right, this guy. Your name, what you'd say to Simon Phoenix at his trial, and your question.
You're a maniac.
Good. Your name.
Is your name? Okay, now what would you say to Simon Phoenix at his trial?
Two questions. Number one, if they're trying to underplay the sexuality so much in this society, why did that girl, like, new dial Stallone?
Yeah, that's it.
That was strange.
And who did she think she was dialing? Like, what was that?
The other quick question was, doesn't the liquid styrofoam for crash cars seem so much... like more inefficient and slower than airbags when that's
I thought that that foam was a great idea though, because the foam protects the entire car. Like, there's to me, there's no way if you have a car that produces that foam that you could ever die in a car crash. Whereas,
dude.
What?
You would die in suffocation.
It would. Filling the cabin with something that goes from soft to hard. So you would be killed.
That's not what happens.
Goes from soft to hard, ladies.
Just like John Sparks yeah. Blade fucking
it protects you inside of it. It protects you inside of it, and then someone has to chisel you out.
Yeah, because you're dead.
No,
because
you're not
dead then.
I did think that the naked girl was interesting. That's a very good.
This is like the first like sexting, here's naked picture kind of scenario. Because it's a phone call appears and there's a naked woman and she's like, hey, do you want to, oops, wrong number.
But this is like the era where like naked women in movies like started like went on a decline a little bit. It was sort of like actually like, so like I just put some tits in there. Like that would be a fun scene, right? Because like it was like so gratuitous. And even like there's no, like they should just like.
I had no problem with that scene.
Your name, why do you think John Spartan's a hero in your question? Go ahead.
My name's Mallory. I think
Mallory. It's a Family Ties quote, guys. R.I.P. David Goldberg.
Great Scott Valentine reference.
Thank you.
I think John Spartan was a hero because he didn't let anything stop him.
Great.
I like that.
And I guess my question is that scene where he's in the museum and he's kicking the glass. Damn. And then I guess the museum guard sees him. And I guess I'm wondering, how socially stunted are they that they can't, like, he's breaking into the thing. And he's like, oh, do you need help? And then he's like, oh, how much do you weigh? And just chucks him. And you know,
this movie posits that 30 years in the future, we would forget 30 years ago. So that would be we have no recollection of, what would that be? Like the 77.
Yeah.
So we'd be like, yeah, I don't know what happened in the 70s.
I don't know. Like,
unless that earthquake killed most people.
I don't think it did.
And then lobotomized everybody else. And just... information's leaving my brain.
It's one thing to be like, we don't have crime. It's another thing to be like, what is crime? You know? Like, right, that's a tough thing. Like, that's a tough sell.
Especially for people that are in their 20s.
Yeah.
Which means that they were born 10 years after this. So it's not like...
Well, like his cop friend who was flying the helicopter at the beginning of the movie, like nobody ever thought to be like, hey, man, like? You lived through this. You were a cop then. This, like, you don't remember what a 187 is?
Yeah, why can't he be like, oh, no, that's a murder.
Right.
Death, kill. As you guys know it now.
And then they'd be like, shut up, man. Just keep working on your little miniatures. That's my third wire.
Lester Freeman?
That's my third wire.
Lester Freeman?
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, Wyatt and I were talking about this. I love that guy because in the young version of him was Agent Johnson from Die Hard, which is just, you know, look, I like that. And I like that he's flying helicopters in both movies.
Yeah.
He has a niche.
The problem is the actor who's the older version of him is like a foot and a half taller than the actor playing the younger version of him.
Well, after the earthquake, we all grew.
Oh, everybody gets longer.
Yeah.
Your question, your name, what favorite piece of future tech in your question?
Mike, my favorite piece of future tech has to be Taco Bell being every restaurant ever. My question or my point is, you guys left out the part of the movie that actually made me have to pause it and take a break and come back, and that is the way people greet each other in the future.
Be well.
Right.
All right.
They put their hands close and they do a little circle.
Yeah. They go like that. And then,
face, but not. It's very weird.
It's very Karate Kid, wax on, wax off.
Although, you know what? If we all did that, we'd put that damn Purell family out of business.
Well, that's the thing is, they also don't high five. They come close to high five. They are like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they really don't make any physical contact with each other.
No.
Sex is
outlawed because of the swapping of fluids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
we all understand to be disgusting.
Who has a good question? Double hand raised. We have a good question. All right, this guy.
Holy shit. What is going on? Why does everyone's raising their hands?
Here we go. Your name?
You okay?
Okay. Your name, what you would call the first movie that leads into Demolition Man, and your question.
All right, the movie leading into Demolition Man is probably White Man Can't Jump.
All right, I like that theory.
Well, that's a trilogy, and then after that it's Major League, and then Major League 2 is pretty much happening at the same time as...
So you're saying White Man Can't Jump goes into Major League 1, Major League 2, and then Demolition Man?
Major League is happening while Demolition Man's going on, and then...
All right, we're off the track. Here we go, question.
So, Mike, well, it's more of a point leading in. Okay, so at the start, there's the fire going on, and then Wesley Snipes says, is it me or is it hot in here? And then, or it's getting cold in here, and then he throws the thing on at, yeah, the gas. But at the end, it's like all frozen and cold, and then Stallone says, is it me or is it cold in here? And then that just pisses off Wesley Snipes. So it's kind of like they're going first, like full circle, and like,
well, there is, there actually, there is,
the scene is a parallel of the last scene.
There's another parallel about that, because Wesley Snipes says something in the beginning about taking my head off. Like, he's like,
yep,
he's, yes, like, something, something, if you take my head off, and,
you know,
and Stallone's like, oh, keep that in mind. And then in the end, he takes his head off. He kept it in mind for 37 years,
well,
or whatever.
He had a lot of time to think while he was alive in that block of ice.
I mean, yeah, people go insane in solitary confinement. People go insane.
Yeah, he's,
for 37 years, he's been awake and comes out and is like, let's get to work.
And at, well, one, like, point, mind, asked to be put, in a moment of frustration, says, put me back in the fridge.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Not even the freezer, just the fridge.
The fridge.
He wants a lesser sentence. Okay. Question, comment, name. Here you go.
My name is Merlenis, and I'm not very good with names of cars, but there's one scene where they're on the ground, and they had this, like, awesome red car. Like, how is these, like, poor people have this awesome car, and how they got it down there, and then how they got...
How did they get it down there?
And just, like... That's my question.
It's an amazing question. Okay. That basically the mole people had an elevator underneath the Chevy dealership that just in case they needed to escape.
Yeah, because we see them go down there a number of times. And the only way it seems to get down, they seem to be able to get down, is through like a
manhole
sewer
covers.
Manhole,
right,
cover.
But also with that, like Wesley Snipes runs away. And Stallone, rather than give chase, is like, wait, hold on a second. Can you start that elevator up? Because I really want to drive that GTO right now. Like, I know I need to stop this terrorist that's, like, trying to kill me and everybody. But I want to give this thing a test drive. Is that cool, Dennis Leary? I know I'm supposed to be protecting you, but is it all right if I... Like, I know I'm going to catch him. He's on foot. There's no way. I'm just let me put the car in the elevator. Hey, move Paz de la Huerta. Move your fucking burger shop so I can drive in there.
I wish that part was played by Paz de la Huerta, like totally naked, just like insane, crazier than crazy. Did anybody else think it was weird that the Dennis Leary people, the underground dwellers, their way of checking in on the real world is to have like a periscope that pops out of the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that twice Sylvester Stallone sees it randomly and is like, hey, what is that thing? And everybody else is like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, I guess it was nothing.
Yeah. He's a groundhog. In 1996, he was a great groundhog hunter. And I was going to say, this is my favorite part. And when he goes underground for the first time, Sylvester Stallone lifts up the sewer grate and goes, smells like biscuits and gravy.
Yep. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It shouldn't.
No, it doesn't. If it does, then that's a beautiful place to live, but did not seem like it matched.
Especially because then he manages to find a hamburger, which he's been craving forever. Uh-oh.
Nick Kroll just
which, yeah! Y'all done with show?
Where at?
Everybody text Nick Kroll. No, we're not done with the show, asshole.
Very close, very close, but not yet.
He eats a hamburger. Turns out it's made of rat meat.
But you know what? It's still pretty good.
He
still
doesn't
good
mind it.
Here we go. This is your final question. A lot of pressure on you to bring it home.
No! Right.
We've got to get to Nick Kroll.
Guys!
Nick Kroll, what's up?
We've got
to go, guys. All right, here we go. Your name, what you would say to Sylvester Stallone when he was on trial. And your question.
My name is John. I'd say it's not your fault.
Good answer.
And my question is, could you guys just briefly talk about how Sandra Bullock tries to say like these 90s phrases but says them wrong? At a certain
point, what's there to say?
After Simon Phoenix in a hole and says, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to blow him?
Yeah. Right.
Again, I wrote down a bunch of those. They're all terrible.
Again, no language. Like, language has not devolved.
No.
Like, I'm going to blow him. I'm going to blow
him. She says, at one point, she says, it looks like you've met your match. What?
And she says, take this job and shovel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By like, the way, if she saw Lethal Weapon, she would know that those are wrong statements.
To anyone who is like over 45 in that society, they would know those phrases. Like you,
sure.
Yeah.
Like you.
They have jingles from our time.
Right.
Why
yeah.
Why don't they have like a book of phrases from our time?
Also, why don't they have the music from our time?
They clearly have the movie posters. The movie license it.
They have posters for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but
no music.
Yeah. Was that the end? Like, oh, that's music can't get any better. Let's shut it down. Shut down the studios, everybody. We're not listening to music anymore, just jingles.
Old jingles, too. Like
yeah.
jingles from like the 40s jingles.
Yeah, yeah. Not jingles from our time.
No, like yeah. oldies is for them from the 40s.
Right.
But just jingles,
yeah.
not songs.
But not the, yeah, and not like the good ones like by Menon.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah. great, solid.
And if yeah. you want to watch some deleted scenes of Dan Cortez singing by Menon, you can see it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had opinions on this movie, but they're not shared by everyone. Now it is time for a second opinion. These are five-star reviews culled from Amazon.com. People who felt very strongly about it. There's some good ones in here. This one's from JTS, titled Beauty and the Syro Cop. I think she means like, well, okay, Syro Cop is not right.
This is in all caps.
Cryo? Does she mean cryo?
I think she means cryo. It's spelled Syro, though. So,
and does she maybe mean...
is always a constant in these Amazon reviews. Here we go. All caps. Sandra's sweet innocence takes the edge off this tough guy film. She is the Spartan... what Adrian, spelt like Alderaan, was to Rocky. The special effects are great. Some of the dialogue lags at times, but the strength of the characters carry this one through. Check out the end. Wow.
All right, Sandra Bullock wrote that review. Sandra Bullock wrote that.
I own this title and have seen it 60
title.
Times. Worth a sequel? I think so. Good fare.
Do you think any of the people who listen to our podcast, when they hear about the movie, go and write 5-star reviews, hoping that they might get picked?
I never take anything that's written past like 2009.
Well done.
Yes, so that is...
So nice everyone... try, assholes.
I really like this movie. A good thing about it is there is profanity, but they don't abuse it like they do in Pulp Fiction. In that movie, they say the F word so many times it loses its meaning. Also, Snipes is pretty funny at times throughout the film. 5 stars.
I feel like that guy probably laughed at the ching chong chong a chong chong. Like that's when he says Snipes is pretty funny. Like
that's the scene he refers to.
Like that's a scene where he just stopped the movie and like, Grandma, come in here.
Rewind.
You guys
are not gonna believe this. This is so fucking funny.
Here. I'm going back on what I said. I'm remembering there were children walking
there
by.
All were children.
They were
well,
all
no,
children.
Well, no, June, you're already on record as defending
now.
This. Inexplicably.
June, enemy to Asians. Okay, this is my... I think this goes up in the pantheon of, like, favorite Amazon reviews because it really takes a turn. From Geek Mom... This is my most favorite movie ever. There are so many quotes in this movie that are relevant today to today's society. It's a great action flick with some of my most favorite actors, and the crazy humor makes it and the crazy humor in it makes looking at what we're going through today almost laughable. I wish more people had seen it, and then they'll understand what's wrong with today's Congress and why they need to stop voting for progressives ASAP. This is the kind of world we'd be forced to live in if the progressives continued to thrive. Nothing would be legal and government would monitor and pay for everything you do. Truly frightening. 5 stars.
Here's, I will say, I will say, watching this movie, there was something about it that felt like, oh yeah, if you listen to Glenn Beck, like, Glenn Beck would love this movie as like, yes, oh, this is the dystopian future that, like, liberals want because, oh, everyone wears the same outfits and there's only one restaurant, like, you get, like there's no money anymore, and...
What's, I agree with it, but what we came from in 96 was so terrible.
Right, and in 96, that was Clinton.
Right.
That was like, oh, Clinton caused Hollywood to catch fire. And then...
No planes to land in LAX anymore. No commercial airliners.
Yeah. Like, they were all... Like, everything about the movie seemed like a liberal complaint. Like, it sucks now that Clinton's president. Everything's on fire. And then it only gets worse.
Guys,
we can't curse no more.
This movie asked a lot of questions and did not do a lot of answers. I feel like we got to the bottom. Would you recommend seeing it? I know I would. I feel like,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Absolutely.
It's a great movie. It's a lot of people like defend this movie online. Like, it's still funny. I don't agree with that. I think it's funny for certain reasons.
I don't think it was ever funny. Those guys are leaving. They're so pissed. Oh, we're so sorry. We are so sorry.
That was a group of Asian people that were like, fucking
shit. You know what? Now that those fucking assholes are gone, we can really get into this movie.
We just play that Wesley Snipes Asian clip over and over again for an hour. Recommend it?
Yes, recommend. Yeah. Strong recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the choice is that or, like, Winter's Bone.
Because...
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Even though Sandra Bullock's gonna get a Winter Bone, right?
Yeah.
With that John Spartan ice dick.
We mean her father's penis in her body.
Oh, also, Sting did the theme song.
Oh yeah. My God, you're right.
Yes.
How about that?
And I wonder if Sting asked, like, they were like, hey, Sting, you know, Sandra Bullock's character is, like, into 90s things. We were thinking about putting up a poster of you. No, it's all right. Don't do it. Don't fucking.
We really want to prominently feature 10 Sumner's Tales. Nope, that's fine. That's cool. I'm going to keep it away.
Yeah. Hey, here's a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You sure? Soul Cages? You don't want us to put Soul Cages up?
I'm fine. I'm going to continue having tantric sex with my wife. You cannot put any of my movies. Yeah.
Really? You sure? No Soul Cages?
Absolutely not. Yeah, no.
I saw that tour, guys. Saw that tour. Just saying.
Do you think he does the theme song in concert? Like, I kind of.
Stephanie Encores with.
No, wait a second. Can somebody settle something? Did he write it for this, or was that a police song?
It is a police song
that was appropriated for this.
All right.
Even worse.
Sting, you did it. You did it. You did it the best way you could. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Give it up for everybody.
That brings us to the end of a classic live episode. Is it classic? I don't know. I'm deeming it classic. We learned a lot. Most notably, we learned that Wyatt Cenac is hilarious. You can watch him on The Daily Show. You can watch me and June on NTSF SD SUV on Adult Swim Thursday nights. A brand new season starting in just a little bit, July 24th or 25th. I should know that. You can also pick up Alien vs. Parker, Episode 3, Issue 3 at Comicology or at your local comic book stand. Jason, as always, is still in The Dictator, which is on Netflix Instant. Follow me on Twitter. Write us on our Facebook page at How Did This Get Made and buy a t-shirt. That's all the things that you need to do. Why? Because we love you. We'll see you next time. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Go to our show homepage on earwolf.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner for your extended free trial, or go to huluplus.com/how.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.